coming out of turn four, we're back with the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
And thanks for tuning in.
Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR: the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast back on the airwaves once again. Eddie Greer III here with the Three Wide Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, the Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. The Pocono wrap-up coming up. Before I dive on in, straight on into that, of course, on Twitter at Eddie_EG3 is my Twitter handle, at Eddie_EG3. I've been getting a lot of followers as of late. I appreciate that. And of course, the Three Wide Podcast is wherever you get available your podcast from, whether it's from Apple Podcast. I butchered that up. Let me start that over. The Three Wide Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast, whether it's from Apple Podcast, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. Get it where podcasts are available. Yes, this is recording this on July the 1st. The 1st of July. We're already in July. This has been some year already in 2020. And add on to it, more cancellations and races. Just frustration for me. I'm sorry for rambling on off topic. But yeah, the frustration is starting to build when it comes to cancellations and restaurants shutting down here in town, things like that. So definitely, COVID is definitely taking its toll for sure. But however, NASCAR action has been absolutely been fantastic through the resumption of NASCAR. So anyways, if there's anything positive to talk about, it's that Major League Baseball finally getting off Snyder. They're going to start later on toward the end of this month as well. NBA trying to figure some things out as well. So there's a little rant there on that. But yes, if you have not checked out last week's episode of the Three Wide Podcast, better want to go check that out. That's probably one of the more favorite episodes of the existence of the Three Wide Podcast with EG3, Jonathan Willard, who is the pit crew member in all three divisions for Austin Hill. Austin Hill, who had another great run last week. Jeremy Clements came home in the top five. We'll get into that second half of the show. And Quinn Houff had one of the Pocono races had a short day there in the rain. So busy. Jonathan Willard, that was very fun. That, by far, if you tell by obviously the time of the episode, the longest episode of the existence of the Three Wide Podcast since obviously the EG3 show, which originally was started. But yeah, even with the combination of those two, still the longest episode of the existence, but it's a fun one though. So you can go make sure you go back and listen to that. A lot of information. I'm not going to spoil it. You're going to have to download it and check that out as well, folks. So that was a lot of fun to talk to him on the show. And definitely looking forward. Already booked another guest for next week's episode. Very excited to have our next guest on the line. We've been interacting for quite a while now. So very excited for that go down as well. But yes, Pocono, folks, let's get started with some action on Pocono. We're going to start this half of the podcast with the Pocono Double, the much anticipated Pocono Double, all before this lame you know what virus had to invade the United States. But hey, this was before doubleheaders of doubleheaders, so you would think that already with obviously Darlington, you know, to come back Sunday and then turn around Wednesday to do it. Now, you got to turn around and go back-to-back days. Not only that, but, and I record this podcast right now just after 9, so bear with me, folks. It's been a long day. Productive day, but a long day here in the Little Island, Manhattan, Kansas. Obviously at work, traveling around and running around town, literally. So, yeah, here we go. So, yeah, Pocono double, obviously, then turned into a triple header Sunday last weekend, thanks to the rain, which has been all but a pain in the you know what since NASCAR came back. And had paid or played a difference yet again. Only one race happened on Saturday. And it was the Pocono Organics 325 that went down last Saturday. And then, yeah, the rain canceled the truck series that moved over to Sunday morning. Of course, we're going to talk trucks and Xfinity in the second half of this episode. You're seeing a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast late with EG3. So, again, starting on a little bit. So, hopefully I can charge on through this episode and hope you guys bear with me as well. But, yes, but basically the title to races in Pocono all together. This was the Kevin Harvick versus Denny Hamlin bout in Pennsylvania. That's what it comes down to. And obviously, we talk about Harvick throughout the last, dozen years as being a championship contender. He won the first race there last weekend in a little bit of a strategy call there and try to get out. And both of these drivers could easily, with a little break here and there, could have both swept the weekend. But a little strategy here, a little strategy there, and then Harvick winning the first race and then turn around to see Denny Hamlin turn the tables on, Kevin Harvick there in the second race on Sunday, late Sunday afternoon there. So Hamlin getting the second win in Pennsylvania, while Harvick opened up Pocono weekend with a victory there. So there is that. So the first top 10, really, outside of all of that, you had the first race on Saturday, the wreck between Reddick and Eric Jones, and the bad luck streak for Eric Jones continues. Yes, he's had some decent runs, but he's had a hell of a string of bad luck here in 2020 there, but had a solid run in the second race of Pocono. Reddick had a rough weekend up there in the Pocono Mountains there. So Harvick, and by the way, Kevin Harvick, all the shortcomings, 0-38, something like that. I believe that was the stat coming into this race. Obviously finishing second a bunch of times through the last several years. Kevin Harvick finally, with the little help from Ryan Childers, beats Denny Hamlin. And not only that, he beat Eric Almirola as well. Almirola, who started on a pole in this first race due to a draw. Obviously, we've been drawing from hats to start who's going to start on a pole and who does not. Well, Eric Almirola, we thought, oh man, oh shit, Eric Almirola's going to lead, going to win this race? Well, it turns out, you know, again, the whole thing about Pocono is comes down to these things. It's the whole strategy game in these races. And I just talked about with you guys about it. You know what I'm saying? Almirola leading a race-high 61 laps. And even with the two races, I still felt that it was long, especially the second race. I know it was understandable with the triple header and all that, but Still, these races are a little bit longer, but hey, it'll have to work for this year, but hey, it is what it is. But Almirola, he checked out, and obviously, and you know the name of the game, folks, is clean air. And clean air, obviously, you hear the old saying, I have it spelled out for you twice, clean air, is the big king in all NASCAR. You get that track position out front, and with a decent good amount of car, you can go to the front. You can stay up there for quite a while up there, and that's what Almirola did there. And obviously, Almirola coming off of that backwards third place finish there. He backed up with a couple of top tens. We'll run both of those down here momentarily here in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 here. But yeah, that was this the first part one of Pocono, other than Reddick slamming into Eric Jones with his aggressive play there. And then Harvick with a two-tire pit stop. Well, the two-tire pit stop there on Denny Hamlin and holds him off there towards the end and gets it done. So let's run it down from top to bottom of this top 10. Harvick only led 17 laps, but the more important thing, he breaks the 0-for-38 long winless drought and checks off Pocono off his list. Denny Hamlin, Joe Gibbs Racing. Again, these two, it was a Kevin Harvick versus Denny Hamlin showdown in Pennsylvania all weekend long. He finished second. Eric Almirola, I just talked about, finished third. Christopher Bell started 36th. Comes home in the fourth spot. Kyle Busch, more Kyle Busch in a moment. Kyle Busch finished fifth. Mark Trish Jr., sixth. Clint Bowyer, seventh. Michael McDowell finished eighth. How about Front Row Motorsports and really all of Front Row Motorsports? First off, McDowell, John Hunter Nemechek putting down some good finishes here in 2020. Front Row making a step forward here, trying to be more competitive. They're doing it here this season. McDowell coming home in a with an eighth place finish there. Brad Keselowski, ninth, and Chris Buescher, the former winner at Pocono, the Fog winner, finished in the 10th spot there. So not too bad there for Chris Buescher coming home. Some notables here as we bounce around this rest of the field here. Blaney, the Talladega winner, finished 12th. Matty D, 13th. Going down, Kurt Busch finished 18th. Bubba Wallace, a lot again. How it was surrounded around him again, carrying this week with the whole rope situation and all that stuff. Bubba doing more interviews, but as of yesterday, he said, it's a wrap for interviews this week, so that's good. 43 in this first quarter, and more on him in the second race because he missed a spinning car, which I can't think of at the moment. Bubba Wallace missing that, and they made a highlight reel out of him for like the next 10 minutes during that time. But Bubba Wallace in part one finished 22nd. Chase Elliott, 25th. Bowman, 27th there. Reddick, as I mentioned, collided with Eric Jones coming out of turn number three. 30th there. Joey Logano. Logano had a rough weekend in the Pocono Mountains. Finished 36th. And Eric Jones finishing there in the 38th spot.
You're listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
We're back with the 3-Wide Podcast, EG3, in the building here late on this Wednesday, the 1st of July. As we're recording this podcast, this will be out tomorrow night as well. So be out on lookout for the 3-Wide Podcast tomorrow. I know I've been a little silent on social media. Like I said, you got to bear with me. It's been a busy week. But however, getting this in late once again, so definitely I love talking NASCAR with you guys, so bear with us. But yeah, we'll wrap this out tomorrow night for your 4th of July weekend. So, and that also is Indianapolis. We'll get to that here a little later on in the show. Okay, so part two. Now you flip the script now to Sunday. After the Xfinity Series, after in the Xfinity Series race and a Truck Series race. The Cup Series took center stage again. And this time, like Darlington, folks, the feud was inverted. So if you finish in the top 20, the field gets inverted. So you used to finish 20th, you will get the pole. So I think for the second time this year, Ryan Preece ended up getting the pole. And he did this back in Darlington. He finished somewhere in the 20th spot. And he and Ty Dillon were on the front row at Darlington. And Preece did it again with a late run in the first poke of the race. There to seal that 20th spot, and there he was sitting on the pole once again. But we had a battle, which is very common in Pennsylvania, the rain, and I applaud NASCAR again for getting all three of those races in. There's probably some speculation that these races were not going to get race completed, and would have to be moved to Monday. But thankfully, this race ended almost in darkness, and obviously Pocono does not have lights, so you gotta be thinking, what in the world NASCAR is thinking, putting all three of these races in the same day is only a challenge. Not only doing that, you're dealing with the possible fact that, oh man, you're gonna fight darkness too, man. So this, we had a lot of elements going into this, and there is no caution in stage three. And then, like I said, Hamlin turned the tables on Harvick there, and Denny Hamlin just ran away with the thing. And Denny Hamlin has a series high, cup high, 4 wins. I mean, it seems like there's already talk about, and I'm not dismissing it, but already, we're in the start of July now, and we're coming up on Indianapolis weekend here this weekend for the Cup in Xfinity. Xfinity will be on the road course, so I don't know what the hell is going to happen there on Saturday. And you throw in the Indy cars on through this weekend as well. So we're going to get that Indy / NASCAR weekend this weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how that does. And we're going to have some recap of Indianapolis, of the Indy cars, on next week's show. So looking forward to basically a packed show. I'm already looking forward to the next episode. We got a special guest be online, so I'm looking forward. I'm very excited for that. But yeah, so all that ties. You're battling the weather. You're battling darkness as well. Is this race going to be complete? This reminded me of when Casey Kane broke through all that hectic mess. Speaking of Indianapolis, the Casey Kane win, it came down to literally who was the last man standing with all the wrecks in Indianapolis a few years ago. Casey Kane got in the playoffs with that win there. So it reminded me a little bit of here, but there was no chaos here. It was just a flat runaway, and what you learn in the first race, you take it to the next. That's exactly what Denny Hamlin did. And back to the championship story. this momentum has really started really back since toward the latter part of 2019 for Denny Hamlin. Obviously, Chris Gabehart is really getting the best 100% out of Denny right now, and it is showing on the racetrack right now. And again, it's one of those times now, and again, we're to keep saying it until he gets it. But again, this is a guy that has not won the big money prize yet. So we all know that. I've said this multiple times on the show, on the podcast. Everyone else has said it, and it's well known around NASCAR. We all know it. Is this guy going to be the next Mark Martin? You're winning all these damn races. And then you have something happen to you in the Final Four, whether it's slow pit stop back in the inaugural Final Four race to give it away, because he was in a position to win, at least in a position to possibly challenge Harvick for the win there back in 2014. Couldn't get it done. And you go back to last year there, you come on strong, and I said it again on this podcast probably a couple weeks ago. I know I'm sounding like a repetitive zebra, but I mean, you go back to last year, I mean, the car came on strong, and you put a big ass piece of tape there, and you basically bleep your chances of winning. I like if I just bleep myself there. And you just basically bleep yourself from winning a championship there. So, I mean, it's all got to come together. You know, the marathon, you know, I mean, learning more and more about how the ladies and men, the elites, I mean, sorry to compare running against driving a race car or a season, but a marathon is, hey, I mean, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you have to, in a marathon, everything has to align in the right way, or at least close. And if it's not, then it can go to hell in a hay basket real fast. And we've seen it from Danny Hamlin. I mean, he gets it toward the end. He's been in the Final Four two times in the existence of the Final Four. And you move it to a place where Danny Hamlin absolutely spanked the field last fall at Phoenix Raceway. I mean, we still have a lot of racing to go. But definitely for sure, though, I mean, we'll see how this unfolds for Danny Hamlin. I mean, he said last year, he said at Homestead after the Chicken Flag fell. He said, we're going to win a whole bunch of races next year. And he's living up to that calling so far. Four wins and Chase Briscoe, Denny Hamlin 2.0, saying, I only won 8 races. He's halfway there. Sorry, spoiler alert. Chase Briscoe winning the Xfinity Series race there, taking, once again, really battling back. That's been a calling card for that 98 bunch all year long. But Denny Hamlin, again, back to him. 49 laps en route to win number 4 and win number 6, tying Jeff Gordon. Big man, Jeff Gordon, for most wins all time at Pocono Raceway. That's something. Harvick, second. Eric Jones finished third. Chase Elliott, fourth. Eric Almirola, again, what I tell y'all, Eric Almirola finishing in the fifth spot. So Almirola coming to IMS, looking to build off that momentum. Matty D finished sixth. William Byron, seventh. Clint Bowyer in the eighth spot. Alex Bowman comes back in the second Pocono race, finished ninth, and Martin Truex Jr. also finishes top 10 there in the 10th spot. So he, Almirola, let's see, Bowyer, Harvick, and eventual winner Denny Hamlin, all those guys finishing in both races and Pocono races in the top 10. How about that? So that's almost half that top 10 who finished all or both races inside the top 10.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast rolling along on this Wednesday night, the 1st of July. EG3, Eddie Gray III. He was y'all rolling down this Pocono double recap here, all tied to one. But it was all the 4 versus 11, getting the best of one another last weekend up in the Pocono Mountains. One of the biggest news stories coming out of Pocono was Kyle Busch. He and Blaney in a lap car get into it. Blaney, from Kyle Busch's perspective, turns him. And then Busch hit the wall front end hard for that M&M's Camry, basically ending his afternoon there. And Kyle Busch put it frankly that he needed more practice there. Hey, I wish I had more practice so we can go be competitive, be up there with them guys. Well, for this instance, I mean, Kyle Busch had what? You go back to Darlington. You knew you had 2 races there. So at least you could, I mean, maybe in different settings. I mean, you had one in the afternoon and one totally under the lights there. So maybe. But here, Pocono, you literally had practice. You could have used that. I mean, you heard it from Larry Mack, some of these guys, Fox, Mike, Joey, Jeff Gordon. That was a strategy game coming in. You had the opportunity. I mean, you knew that going in. You had the opportunity to say, hey, look, we could use this first Pokemon race as a test session, maybe to get our car balanced out right, da-da-da-da. So you had that opportunity. And, I mean, Jeff Gordon said it in the first Pokemon race throughout. I mean, once Kyle Busch gets going, he's going to be tough to beat. Well, you turn around, Kyle Busch was up there. He, at one point, the Joe Gibbs Racing cars were 1, 2, 3. I think it was Truex, Hamlin, and Kyle Busch, all 1, 2, 3 in that order. Of course, Hamlin passed Truex there a little later on, but still, though, yeah, 1, 2, 3 sitting there. And Eric Jones was somewhere. I don't know where he was at that time, though, but he was coming on strong in the second half of that second race there at Pocono. But yeah, you had an opportunity there to learn something, and then turn around in the same setting and to perform better. And these two, you get hung up on a lot of traffic, and then everything goes to, you know what, shit. So for Kyle Busch hitting the wall hard, and then he was not happy with Blaney, apparently, there with the contact, and we get a video came in late and saw the whole thing, and that NASCAR video definitely showed Blaney getting into the back quarter panel of Kyle Busch, and y'all know what happened from there. So, but the stat, main stat for me coming in before we'll go to the notables here, and then we'll close it here, and then we'll talk Indy here before we actually go to our intermission here on the 3Wire podcast. But yeah, the famous stat right here, right now, Kyle Busch through 13, 14 races, or how many you want to put it, no stage wins. No stage wins at all. And no wins so far. It is thankfully enough. I mean, it's fine. I mean, yes, Kyle Busch, I mean, he was at his element, or supposed to be his element at Pocono. Didn't really show it there. Yes, he was competitive. He was up there like he usually is, but not up there leading laps. I mean, we're going to another place that he's made home cooking. And that's Indianapolis. There for Kyle Busch. But should we? I mean, we were doing this last year in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, bam, Kyle Busch capitalizes on Truex and Hamlin there to win the championship. So your defending champion has no wins or stage playoff points yet. That's amazing. You would have told me that the 18 car, Kyle Busch, with all that he has done to this point, no wins, no stage points. That's got to be a stunner as going in to Indianapolis with the Big Machine Hand Sanitizer 400 powered by Big Machine Records NBC. We'll get their cobwebs run out here for this race. They'll have the call for this race, and then FS1 will do the Kentucky race and the All-Star race before handing it back over to NBC for the rest of the way for the Cup Series and Xfinity Series. So, I mean, should you be concerned? I don't know. Because Kyle Busch went out and said, I need more practice. I think the races are just fine the way that they are now. I mean, yes, you missed some practice, but these guys are grown men. These guys are adults. You know what your job is. You've been at these racetracks 1,000 times. You get around. You know what the character is. You know by now, especially your veteran in a sport like a Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, yeah, Harvick, Hamlin. Yeah, you should know what you want in your race car. But apparently, I mean, Kyle Busch wants that extra time. You're already running in 3 series anyway. I don't know why you need any more. you know that. So, anyways, notables there. Kurt Busch, 13th. Brad Keselowski in 11th there. Jimmy Johnson finishing in 16th spot there. John Hunter Nemechek, 19th. Ryan Blaney. He looked like he could have done a little more in this past weekend up there in Pocono. But he did not. He finished in a 22nd spot. Logano, like I said, long-ass weekend for him. Logano finished 24th. Down here in Tyler Reddick, rough weekend for him, who had to bounce back at IMS. 35th for him. Kyle Busch, 38th position for him. And Christian Bell, who finished inside the top 5 in the first Pocono race, well, he finished 39th. And Michael McDowell, to basically transition into the intermission break. Michael McDowell finished 8th. Well, he finished shotgun to the field. And for your spot, that is your Pocono double recap here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. The Cup Series, I just said it a moment ago, will take center stage at Indianapolis on Sunday on NBC. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast will coming back here in just a moment. Camping World Xfinity, a wild Xfinity race there. And I gotta tell y'all something that I have not said on this podcast. The All-Star Race at a different location. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast coming back after this.
EG3 and the 3-Wide podcast will be back on the track after this stage break.
NASCAR podcast is off and running. We got the motors going now here in Manhattan, Kansas. A little Apple MHK. Eddie Greer III for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. NASCAR Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, the Inter Outdoor Truck Series, the 3-Race Visions, and all of NASCAR going over the Pocono edition here tonight on the podcast and get y'all set for Indianapolis here. Throughout the podcast, yes. So the first half of the podcast, we talk Cup, and now we're moving on to starting off with the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, who kicked the triple header off at Pocono last Sunday there. The Pocono Organics 150 saw a last lap pass made by a non-regular, and this guy has been running trucks occasionally for Kyle Busch Motorsports. That is a person of Brandon Jones getting past Sheldon Creed late. And also he'll get past Creed as well. But Brandon Jones getting the job done for Kyle Busch Motorsports and getting it done there in the truck, getting the win over Austin Hill. Sheldon Creed led a race high 31 laps, and Creed obviously you win and you're in the playoffs there, but Brandon Jones stole the show away from Sheldon Creed. Sheldon Creed very impressive there at Pocono in that number 2 Chevy truck there for GMS there. So I already talked to the three big three there. Brandon Jones, not big three literally, but the top three in this race. Brandon Jones, Austin Hill, Sheldon Creed, and another solid run by Todd Gillen. He finished in the 4th spot. Again, Fortmore Motorsports putting it down, not only in the Truck Series, but starting to get a groove on in the Cup Series. They have Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes quietly having a nice season. Finishing in the 5th spot. Ross Chastain, 6th. More on him in a moment. Brett Moffitt, 7th. Stuart Friesen. Finally gets himself in the top 10 this year in the Truck Series. Tyler Ankrum in the number 26 for GMS. 9th. And Derek Krause finishing in the top 10 there. In the top 10. So, Jones getting Creed at the line. Just over 8/10 of a second from Austin Hill. Like I said there, last lap passes. Say that 10 times fast. tend to happen at this racetrack. And we saw another one last week there with Brandon Jones getting past Creed there and spoiling what would have been his first ever career win in a truck series, meaning Sheldon Creed. So, man, Brandon Jones getting the win W there in the trucks. I believe that is his first win in the truck series, even though he is not a regular in the truck series. So the next time the trucks will be on a track will be next weekend at Kentucky, where everybody's going to be going next week. The Buckle Up In Your Truck 225, July 11th on FS1 there. We'll see what happens there. And we're going to flip it to the standings real quick, the regular season. And Austin Hill has been absolutely been a stud. Very consistent. It's going to be sometime here, very in the near future, that Austin Hill is going to break through and get victory lane. This guy won four races a year ago, and he's been on the absolute doorstep of getting the victory lane. Hill by a bunch. Ben Rhodes, Grant Enfinger, Sheldon Creed, Todd Gilliland. That is your top five right now, heading into Kentucky next weekend in the Get Our Door Truck Series.
Listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
The Xfinity Series. Boy, oh boy. Whew, I gotta tell you, this Xfinity Series was very something else. And you would have thought, well, looking at the top 10 running order, finishing order from Sunday, well, you would have thought you were at Talladega or something, or Daytona again for this race, because this race had pretty much everything from comebacks, from speeding on pit road, to running from getting to the win, to a bump and run off of turn number two, to the big one, the back on the coming off of turn one. This thing had it. Out of all the races, this Xfinity Series race had everything for y'all. If you missed it, you can go back and check that out. But Chase Briscoe, like I said in the first half of this podcast tonight, folks, he said earlier, well, I didn't know about this until, this was a while back, but I didn't know about this deal until I heard about it. But Chase Briscoe said, I'm going to come in here and win eight races. Well, he's halfway there. And not only that, he did not win Dasher's Cast. That was Ross Chastain getting that, and that's more money for Kyle Racing. But Chase Briscoe has been the comeback cardiac cat in the Xfinity Series this year. There's just no doubt about it. He right there, right now, that 98 team, when they do make a mistake, they battle back, they dig deep, they battle back, and they battle back hard. We saw this in Darlington with all that happened with Chase family, his wife, and that whole entire situation there, fought really hard. And then to go out there and beat Kyle Busch at Darlington, saw at Homestead, especially the first race where you're six laps down, all of a sudden, caught a couple cautions later, you're back in the ball game, making all those up. So Chase Briscoe, he's been an absolute stud. I'll stick with that word there. He's been an absolute a man possessed, and he just took advantage of it. A mistake there. Obviously, Austin Cindric had the car to beat there, but he got caught up in the big one there, and got caught up in that mess between Noah Gregson and Mike Steiner, Part 2, baby edition. And remember, Gregson and Steiner, these guys had it in for each other. This goes back to Las Vegas there, where Gregson apparently had other ideas to spin Mike Steiner. Dale Jr. was not happy about it on his podcast. And you fast forward to last weekend up there, and then to make matters worse, I mean, Cindric looked like he and Hemric were going to be okay. But instead, Mike Steiner made things even a little worse, and Noah Gregson was a part of that. So Gregson has had a fun year But don't be getting yourself into any more messes. I mean, this is something you're going to have to keep, we're going to keep an eye on here moving forward. I mean, I know we're still a little bit ways off from the Xfinity Series playoffs, but I mean, you can't get yourself in trouble like that. Myers Snyder's going to be a player here for too long. I mean, he was up the leading laps there, taking advantage of the situation. But absolutely, I mean, you can't pick your battles too much, because I mean, at some point it could come back to bite you in the rear end, and that's what it did with Gregson there. So Snyder with a payback move on Gregson to basically finish him off and to make the big one what it was back there on Sunday's race. But Chase Briscoe having to hold off Ross Chastain in overtime to get it done. Ross Chastain bringing home the money to Colley Racing once again, winning the Dash for Cash there. And Jeremy Kmetz, third. He finished in the third spot there. How about that for that team? I mean, that team, I mean, they put off some good runs here over the past few years. Of course, that big time win at Road America there a few years ago. But Jeremy Kmetz showing the consistency whenever he gets a chance to hop on somebody's mistake. So that's what he did, and he finished third. Maya Snyder, fourth. Michael Annette finishing the fifth spot for Junior Motorsports. He and teammate Justin Allgaier. And Justin Allgaier, he was part of that big one. I don't know how the hell he finished sixth. This dude has the worst luck in all of the Xfinity Series, Justin Allgaier. Let me tell you something. Whew. I mean, this dude should be winning races. There's no doubt. And I feel like I'm saying this every week, but Justin Allgaier, this dude can't catch a break. But at least in this race, though, he caught a huge break. He was able to keep going, because I thought for sure he was done. But Allgaier finished sixth. Brett Moffitt, yes, he's a regular in the Truck Series, but this Brett Moffitt in the Xfinity Series, this 02 Chevy, this competitive. He got as far as second in this race. And he ends up finishing in the 7th spot there. Timmy Hill in the 61 finished 8th. Raleigh Hurst has been a mainstay up there in between top 10 and top 15-ish. Raised there, Hurst bringing home a 9th. And Jesse Little, we see him in the Truck Series sometimes, comes home to finish in the 10th spot in this race. Ryan Singh, some notables here for y'all, 12th. And you're acting, where's Noah Gregson? Well, Noah Gregson finished in 22nd spot. Justin Haley, your Talladega winner, 23rd. Daniel Hemric, this is number 2 driver with worst luck in all in NASCAR. Daniel Hemric gets involved in another wreck and it's not his undoing. And, man, you got to feel bad for the guys. Trying to get back his cup ride. Lost his cup ride, getting demoted to the Xfinity Series, and all he's done is get involved in wrecks that he shouldn't even be in. That's unfortunate, because I was high on this dude, and now, you know, I don't know, because this is, I mean, he spent most of his starts, which are most words, in wrecker, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm just telling what it is. So, and Austin said my lap track fantasy pick, unfortunately, finished the 20th spot. Yeah, had a rough week in that department there. But the picks were right. The picks are just right. They're right there for the taking. They're right there. I mean, yes, Reddick, unfortunately, had a run into Eric Jones to take him out of the running in part one of Pocono. Then I thought, well, okay, so Christian Eckes. And I didn't mention this in the truck recap, but Christian Eckes wrecked while leading, had issues leading, and putting it in the wall off of turn between turn one and turn two. That sucked. So that's more points lost. And then Austin Center had a car to beat. That's, and it gets in that little mess with between Snyder and Gregson. And that loss cost me a lot of points there. So, yeah, that could have been a huge, at least for Sunday's sake anyways, but Boyer got me a top 10 out of the deal. But I'm very lucky that this wasn't even worse than it was, because this could have been really, really bad. But at least for the overall point of view, though, I'm still in the game now. Knocked me out of plot contention for the time being, but I'm just looking down the stats or the standings the other day. It's very tight. So I can get a couple of dice is rolled my way, my direction here. I can't afford another bad week. I mean, but that's with four races, and we didn't wonder what I'm talking about. Lock Trout Fantasy, that Brandon Crowd, the host of Lock Trout Podcast, does, and it's really fun, but it's very, I mean, it's stressful. Just a little bit, maybe just a little. I might be over exaggerating, but just a little bit, but especially when you have four races on that weekend and you give up points, it hurts you. I mean, now I have to make those up somehow, some way. I know it's going to be a triple header next weekend. I know it's going to be another four backer somewhere down the line. So hopefully, I mean, I don't have any more of these bad weeks. I'm going to have to be a little aggressive here this weekend and avoid, not avoid my plan, but I have to deviate from my plan. I'm not going to show my plan. Not on my own podcast about my fantasy picks, but might have to deviate from that and might have to just go for points here this weekend. But I don't have that much ground to make it up. I just can't afford, especially like that, to have a bad weekend like that again. Or I'm out of the chance for playoffs. But anyway, speaking of which, back to Xfinity talk here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Yeah, we got that motor going now. Like I said, EG3 in the building. Briscoe, when you look at the regular season standings, he is up by only 3 points on the 9 of Noah Gregson. And probably the comparison of Hamlin and Harvick in the Cup Series, those two are standing out. Well, even with the Gregson was running in the top 5 before we're getting spun out. These two guys have been the class of the field. I mean, that might be too much, but I know the 98's been in there. The 9 has been a part of that as well. I'm going to go ahead and say a class of the field. Yeah, why not? So, I mean, for me, the 3 and 4 spots, still open. Austin Senna has been strong. Obviously got caught up, unfortunately, in that mess. He's going to be a popular pick. Oh, speaking of which. So, yeah, I mean, going into this next race, the road course, first time the Xfinity Series guys on this. Woo! I have no idea what's going to happen. And this is going to be the Pensola 150 at the Brickyard on Saturday on July 4th. Independence Day, 2 o'clock Central Time here in Kansas. Whether it's here in Kansas, Oklahoma, parts of Illinois, y'all know what it is. And then 3 o'clock Eastern Time. So, man, this is going to be the first time. I know the IndyCar has raced this track. I have not seen this track, obviously, up close on TV before. So it's kind of hard for me to say who's going to be playing this. But obviously, I just named one of them. And I'll sit here, and I'm going to go ahead and pull up this entry list here for this race here coming up on Saturday afternoon. But this thing is going to get wild. Going to get wild in a hurry. So I just can't tell you what happened. You're just going to turn to NBC to find out what happens on Saturday. And Jeb Burton is going to be in an 8 car for Junior Motorsports, AG Allmendinger, the road course ace. And Carl has been on fire. He'll be back in the 16 this weekend. Anthony Alfredo returns to the 21. Again, Austin Cindric, the man who won almost all the road courses a year ago, be back at 22. He's going to be hungry, come off that disappointing finish there. And I'm going to throw in a little dark horse. I'm going to throw in a little Jeremy Kmetz in there in that 51 car. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, this road course here is going to be, I mean, most of these guys, or pretty much all of them, have not been there. Maybe Allmendinger has, but all these guys, 95% of this field, have not been there. This is gonna be something. This is gonna be must see TV coming up on NBC this weekend with the Indy cars and the Xfinity Series cars racing on the road course.
You're listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3. We'll be right back.
few more minutes here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Eddie Gritter, third for the podcast here in Manhattan, Kansas. And I don't know what it is. I mean, it takes a little bit to get me going, especially recording a podcast this late at night. It definitely gets me going, but we got it going. We got the juices flowing and about to wrap this podcast here. But I appreciate all of you guys tuning in, downloading the show. Make sure you tell your friends about the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast in Indianapolis weekend. And we will recap what went down in at least in the IndyCar series race there. Coming up this weekend, like I said, this Xfinity Series race could be a shit show. I mean, a lot of these guys haven't been around that course, so we'll see what happens coming this weekend. All right, so the top three drivers for Indianapolis going in, obviously the Cup guys will not be running the road course at IMS. They're going to be doing the old rectangle IMS track. And again, Kevin Harvick. This is going back to 17 of February. But Harvick has been the man. Got a win. He's the defending winner of last year. And Kevin Harvick. Harvick whooped everybody's ass last year at his racetrack. So it comes back over here. Logano, second best average. Ryan Newman. How about this cat? Ryan Newman. No, let's not forget now. Ryan Newman won this race a few years ago. So he knows how to get around here. He has three top tens. This, ladies and gentlemen, from my notes going back to 17 there. So that's a little extra something right there. And obviously, we look at intermediate tracks, the 2.5-mile tracks in that same time frame. We look at the same two cats that we talked about in the first half of this podcast. That's Harvick and Hamlin. That's almost a fifth place finish there. And Denny Hamlin there. Average finish of ninth. So those two guys are right there in the mix. And then let's throw in somebody that's trying to get their season going. That's William Byron. And at 24 for Hendrick Motorsports. They've been really, really quiet here the last few races here. So all this talk early on about Hendrick Motorsports being back, well, they have been run down and caught by, well, Penske's been there all year long. Joe Gibbs Racing starting to show something. And Kevin Harvick leading the Stewart Haas Brigade. There are a red hot Almirola coming to IMS this weekend. So we'll see what happens there. Those are some of the guys to keep your eyes on. Now, finally, to wrap up this podcast with a little bit of news to send you guys out on July 4th weekend on. I have not said this on this podcast yet, but the All-Star Race. Yes, the All-Star Race a few weeks ago was moved from Charlotte over to Bristol. Why not 2020? Let's try some things and see what we come up with. Yes. So this move, I like. Some people don't like it. Well, that's their business. Well, me, I like the move. It's about damn time to move this damn All-Star Race to another location. Get some excitement back going. I mean, Charlotte is not one of the best mile half races to put this race on. I mean, it's lost some of its luster, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, back in the day, you know what I mean, you had these good races and these good side-by-side battles, but not anymore with, I mean, these guys trying out different packages for the last three straight years and whatnot, and trying to get the best racing, and we still can't find out good racing, so why not? I mean, this was talked about for last year, moving it, and now you're talking about maybe moving from year to year, and now you're adding the possibility, well, actually, they've already announced this, but Bristol is allowing at least 30,000 fans in the stands for the All-Star Race it's coming up next. I have to double check that real quick. I go to the schedule I'm talking about. Yes, so July 15th is when it is. I believe it's a midweek race, if I'm not mistaken here. I believe, but that's going to be even more interesting if that is true. Yeah, because, yes, it is. So this is a minute you're talking about. All right, so you're talking about the Open and the All-Star Race, a midweek race. Woo! under a prime top, under lights, fireworks, this thing's going to be popping. And got fans in the stands. Whew, this thing's going to be popping, beating, banging. This is what you want. This is old school racing right here, baby. On short track. And the segments were just announced today here for this all-star event in the middle of the week. Wow, it's going to be something. Open segments will be 35, 35, and 15. The winner will advance to the big show later on in the evening. And, of course, you got your vote getter there also, I would assume, as well in there. And, obviously, the main showdown, the big show, under the lights, all-star race, 55, 35, 35. And an absolute dead-ass sprint to the finish with 15 laps in quarter number four. It's going to be something, folks. So the all-star race, ladies and gentlemen, moving to Bristol. And you got fans in there. So that's going to, I think that's going to bring a lot of excitement. I'm ready for it. So that for me, in my opinion, on this podcast, that needed to happen. You can follow me at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. Again, Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. One more time, at Eddie_EG3 and the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Apple Podcasts. You listen on there, please leave us a 5-star rating. That helps the show out tremendously. Continues to get the word out. Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud, a 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever podcasts are available. Man, it's been a great show, and we're going to keep this under an hour. like normal tonight, because last one, I mean, that was some awesome, awesome content with John Wheeler. Again, you missed out on that, and you missed out on recent episodes of the podcast. Download them, and we have already got a special guest next week. Oh boy, I'm pumped up for that. And we'll definitely be talking about Bristol. That's going to be something for sure. But for now, it's a wrap. Let's wind this thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Big shout out to Big D, the producer of this podcast, for all his hard work. Eddie Gritter III saying thank you for listening to tonight's episode of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Remember, folks, this will go out tomorrow night at the very latest. So, which will lead up to ISM weekend. Again, congratulations to the winners this weekend from this past weekend. Last week from Pocono, Harvick, Hamlin continue to shine in the Cup Series. Chase Briscoe continues to own the Xfinity Series. And Brandon Jones stealing the show in the Truck Series. We'll talk to you guys next time on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We'll have a special guest. We'll talk to you then. We out. Deuces.
listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going three wide.